Alrighty, let's pray for Andre, and we're going to hand over to him. Lord, we want to thank you for Andre and for not only his life, but the preparation, a lifetime of probably 17 years now of preparation for today. And we want to thank you for that. Thank you for the gift that he has been to us and that he will be this morning. We open our hearts to your word. Speak to us, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good. Can everyone, does this work? Can you hear me? That's good. You can leave your notes here, Mark. Let me see, how do I do this? It's so nice to be here this morning. What a privilege to get together, to hear God's word, worship him, see what God wants to do, and enjoy fellowship. It's so great. So this morning what I want you to do is just relax, forget about the week, busyness, make yourself comfortable, and open your hearts towards God. And we can so easily fall in a trap where we just walk through the door, we had a busy week, we sit in our bum, and we fall asleep. And that's not really the whole idea. And we rate the morning as like we're watching a TV show. Yeah, it's a good show. No, it's a bad show. Let's go home and have lunch. So that's not really the idea. So I hope you come in here and just take time, prepare your heart, and believe God. Make a decision right now before I even start is to believe God. Believe the scriptures. You know, the world that we live in, it's so easy to have hard hearts and to put a shield up, to say, yeah, everything is okay, we just carry on, and we just carry on. But it is so important to be vulnerable with God. And I understand some people have gone through hurts in the past, and it's not easy to allow God in and to trust God and other people. But this morning, I really want to ask you to open your heart to God and what he wants to say and the scriptures we want to read. Because I really think what I've got this morning is important for us as a family. And this whole preach is really about you and about me and about us, this body, this family. Open your hearts. When you go home this afternoon, please go through the notes again. Read the scriptures again. And allow God not just to let it be head knowledge, but allow God that it will sink into your heart. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Read the scriptures again until God highlights them to you and illuminates the scripture. And that way it can go in your heart. Otherwise, we just forget it and we wait for the next Sunday to come in. Or the next Sunday's message. So, I've got a lot to get through. So this morning, I want to talk about the church. But not just the church worldwide or the church in general. I want to talk about our church. You know, normally we get in here and we hear this message of, yeah, be salt, be light, go out in the world, make a difference. And that is all good. I'm not saying that is wrong. But there are two parts. Although that is very important, there's also another part that we have to look after one another, yeah, in this church. And God has placed individuals as part of this body to play his part. So everyone here has got a role. Like in a normal family, like in our family, we divide responsibilities. So in our house, Armand, he needs to do the recycling bins, normal bins, wash the cars, mow the lawn, unpack the dishwasher, pack it again, vacuum, iron, make dinner. And we feel that's quite fair and balanced. And we go to work. So, no, I'm just joking. But in real life, in each family, there are rules and there's responsibilities, and everyone plays his part in the family. And in the same with this family. Because when you become a Christian, when you are born again, I mean, in this church consists out of born-again believers. If you're not a born-again believer, you're not the church. That's it easy what it is. I mean, there's a saying, if you sit in a garage, it doesn't make you a car. And so if you sit in a church, it doesn't make you a Christian. It's exactly the same. But it's only when you're born-again Christian, when you've put your faith in Jesus Christ for your salvation, then you're part of a family, and God brings you into His church, His body, this family. So in a normal family, we've got all responsibilities, we've got a role to play, and in this exactly the same in the church. God has put us here, and He's put talents and gifts in every person so that we build up one another. You know, the church is a safe place where we can actually practice and live out our spiritual gifting, our natural talents. And it's not really an option. It is something that we have to do. Otherwise, this body will die and it will become boring and dry. And you will become boring and dry. But when we get with God and we say, God, what is my role in this church, in this family? And we're going to look at lots of scriptures, and I'm going to give you a list. But the sad thing is, there's no list that can complete, like I can give you, that will cover everything. And the worst thing that you can do today is if you go out the door and say, look, Andre has given us a list of how we need to look after one another, my role in the church, and go and tick it, and out of your flesh or out of your own effort, try and do a list. That is going to be an absolute nightmare, and we won't be able to do it. You'll get tired, weary, and you'll leave. So the correct way of doing it is to get with God and say, God, what is my role here? What do I need to do? Be spirit-led in what each person needs. Because, where's Ben? Oh, there's Ben. Not that I want to single out Ben, but he's a younger person. So Ben needs Faye. Faye needs Ben. Young people need older people. Teenagers need younger people. We all bring something different. Older people's got more experience, life stories. They've walked with God for a long time. And younger people can learn from that. And vice versa. So everyone can play a part. So Ben can benefit Dennis and Sue. Dennis and Sue can benefit Armand. So we can all work together and play our part. So let me start reading you a scripture quickly. So let me, before I forget that. When Kevin Nicole was here, one of the things he mentioned was, he said, we are in a season of sowing as a church. And I believe this is one of the things that we can invest in, that we can sow into one another's lives. So, let me just read this. This is Galatians 6. And I'm going to read from the Message. Don't be misled. No one makes a fool of God. What a person plants, he will harvest. The person who plants selfishness, ignoring the needs of others, ignoring God. How powerful is that? So if we ignore one another, we're actually ignoring God. Harvest a crop of weeds. All he'll have to show for his life is weeds. But the one who plants in response to God, letting God's Spirit do the growth work in him, harvests a crop of real life, eternal life. So let's not allow ourselves to get fatigued doing good. At the right time, we will harvest a good crop. And if we don't give up or quit right now, therefore, every time we get the chance, let us work for the benefit of all, starting with the people closest to us in the community of faith. And that's the verse that I want to focus on today. So let's not allow ourselves to get fatigued doing good. Therefore, every time we get a chance, let us work for the benefit of all, starting with the people closest to us in the community of faith. So yeah, it's wonderful. God says, do good to everyone, but start with the people in this family. And we're going to see why later on. So the Amplified Bible says this: let us not grow weary or become discouraged in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap if we do not give in. So then, while we, as individual believers, have the opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially be a blessing to those of the household of faith, born-again believers. The NIV says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. And so I go on and on and on and read in all the translations. But do you get the point? What I'm saying is, do good to everyone, but let's start with one another. Yeah. And a good way to start, or example that we can look at, is in Acts 2:42. And what we see here, Peter gets up, they're filled with the Holy Spirit, he goes outside, they preach this amazing gospel message, turn to God, be saved. People were stabbed in their hearts. They think, oh my goodness, God, what must we do? And he said, repent and be baptized. And then after that, a lot of people turned to God, and it says, after that has happened, this group got together. And that's the picture or the example that we use for New Testament church. And it says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. And I think that's such a beautiful picture of life, what it can be like in the local church. And we get born again. And as we see in Acts 2:42, these guys found themselves in a new family, in a new body. And yesterday I was talking to guys and I said, imagine this, that when we get together and we do good to one another, especially those in this family, let's say, it says here, they sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. So let's say, in the week I get with God and I say, oh my goodness, I need to pay Mark and Sharon's gas bill. And I come here on Sunday and say, I feel God saying I must pay your gas bill. And imagine Mac comes to Viv and say, listen, I think I need to pay your rego. God wants me to pay your rego. And then someone else got debt. Let's say Sean and Taryn, they've got debt. They can't get out of it. Not really. I'm not. This is just fake examples. But and Kevin and Heather said, listen, we want to bless you with money. We want to pay your debt for you. And Maury and myself, we get up and we get to Jupes and Christian and say, listen, we want to just pay for all your food this week. And imagine we are Spirit-led and we all take time to do that. And no one is need. And then I used the example yesterday, Jacob, he's working a few days a week, he's a student, he hasn't got a lot of spare cash. He said, look, sorry, I can't really do anything because I don't have extra money, but he can sell some of his stuff. He can sell some of his furniture. You must think, wow, that's quite extreme. But, I mean, sell his fridge. But you know what, I'm joking about it, but it's real. Sell it, sell something. And give to another poor student, Pete. I'm just joking, but you know what? You see what I'm saying? Is sell something, give it to one another. Imagine we all do that together. We're selling, we're giving, we're blessing, we're encouraging. And it doesn't have to be physical stuff. Listen to what Galatians says in the Amplified Version. It says this. So then, while we as individual believers have the opportunity, let us do good to all people, not only being helpful, but also doing that which promotes their spiritual well-being. So you might say, look, I've got nothing to give. I've got no money. That's okay. You can do this. let us do good to all people, but also doing that which promotes their spiritual well-being. So every person here can think of something to promote the person sitting next to you's spiritual well-being. Very easy. There is absolutely no excuses. Galatians 6. So from verse 7 to verse 10. 6 to 10. So there's no excuse. There's absolutely no excuse. So Mike can sit and say, God, what is it that you want me to give to Brendan? And he might say, look, I think you need to buy him a book on spiritual growth or finances or whatever it is. But the amazing thing is everyone can play a part and we all can do this together to build one another up. And it's a beautiful picture. I'm not going to be offended if you come to me and say, I want to pay your water bill. I'm not going to be offended. I'm going to praise God. Okay. And the same way, let's buy each other stuff. Let's ask God, God, what scripture can I bring today to encourage someone? And let's all do that together. So I want to use another scripture. It's a fairly long scripture. When I want someone else to read this, you just see I'm connected to the speaker. I just want to see if it's going to work. This is 1 Corinthians 12, the whole chapter. So let's just see if this is going to work. And this is a beautiful picture of everyone can play his own part.
That God has carefully placed each part of the body right the lower the part, the more basic, and therefore necessary. You can live without an eye, for instance, but not without a stomach. When it's a part of your own body you are concerned with, it makes no difference whether the part is visible or clothed, higher or lower. You give it dignity and honor just as it is, without comparisons. If anything, you have more concern for the lower parts than the higher. If you had to choose, wouldn't you prefer good digestion to whole body care? The way God designed our bodies is a model for understanding our lives together as a church. Every part dependent on every other part. The parts we mention and the parts we don't. The parts we see and the parts we don't. If one part hurts, every other part is involved in the hurt and in the healing. If one part flourishes, every other part enters into the exuberance. You are Christ's body. That's who you are. You must never forget this. Only as you accept your part of that body does your part mean anything. You're familiar with some of the parts that God has formed in his church, which is his body. Apostles, prophets, teachers, miracle workers, healers, helpers, organizers, those who pray in tongues. But it's obvious by now, isn't it, that Christ's church is a complete body and not a gigantic, unidimensional part. It's not all apostle, not all prophet, not all miracle worker, not all healer, not all prayer in tongues, not all interpreter of tongues. And yet some of you keep competing for so-called important parts. But now, I want to lay out a far better way for you.
Okay, that's the whole chapter. I want to stop there. But it carries on, then he talks about love. And I don't normally preach out of the message, but it says it in such a good way to understand the body and how we all function together. But the part I want to highlight is from verse 27, where it says, you are Christ's body. That's who you are. You must never forget this. Only as you accept your part of that body does your part mean anything. And I think the danger that we can fall into is we can sit here and don't believe this. And we can walk out the door and say, really, I've got nothing to give. This is really not applicable to me, and I'll just go home. And the amazing thing is the things that we talk about today is something that the world cannot copy. Because, you know, we can try and do this for a day or a week or maybe a month, but it's going to dry up and it will not last. But if you look at Acts 2:42, the Holy Spirit brought an inner unity that stirred people, and that was their fire and their drive and their energy to do this. So you'll never be able to do this if the starting point is not God. And if our base, our foundation is not God. I don't know about you. It is not the easy thing for me to love people. And I've said that many times. Because I love myself so much. And, you know, it might sound funny, but that's true. And I think we're all a bit like that. We like ourselves. And it's very hard to love other people. Especially if they don't have the same interest. Or they look different, or they sound different. It's not easy to love people. I mean, it's easy if everything goes well, and it's people that you get on with, and your friends. I mean, that's easy to love people like that. But what about if you don't get along, but you're in the same family? And the only way we can change that is if we get to God and say, God, help me to love people. Help me to love people. You know, we're going to go through some scriptures now that just shows us some things that we can do and how we can do this. But I want to warn us that we cannot do this without God's help. We cannot do this without the Holy Spirit. It is only when we get with God and we receive the love that Christ has for us, like we sang this morning, when we get with Jesus and we say, Jesus, I am so thankful for what you've done for me. I am so thankful. Because without you, there's no eternal life. There's a life of destruction now and at the end when I die as well. There's no way without you. And I'm so thankful, Jesus, that you gave me a new life, that you you gave me a new birth. You gave me a new life. I'm thankful for that. And Isaiah 61, verse 10, it says, Jesus clothes us with his righteousness, and he clothes us with his goodness. And it's amazing to do that. So when we get with God, we say, God, help me to have a love for people in this family. We'll be able to do this. If we don't start with God, if we don't start with the Holy Spirit, allowing our hearts to be vulnerable and say, God, come and help me. And just be honest with God. Say, God, I really don't care about people in this church. I don't care if they do well or bad. I don't care if they're exhausted. I don't care if they're struggling. I really don't care. I just want to come here because I enjoy chatting to people, give me something to do, and I feel good when I come to church. We have to be honest with God and say, do I really care about this family? Do I really care? Do I really love? And you know, that love, it's so difficult to put a list together because that love will be a million things. Because what Sheila needs is very different to what Jeremy needs. And the way Mac needs love is very different to Viv and Heather and Kevin and Maria. And so we can carry on. But when we get with God and we love people, he will give us ideas and he will give us things to do. So let's have a look at a few scriptures that will give us an idea of how we can do this. Let's start with the foundation that I'm saying is love is the foundation for that. And not any love, but God's love. John 13 verse 34 says this. A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. So God says, love one another the same way Jesus loves us. That is a bit overwhelming, but it sets the bar of the love that we need to have for one another. And then verse 35, it says, by this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Imagine how we're starting to do this. Man, this church is heaven on earth. No one's got debt. We pay each other bills. We buy each other books. We build up one another spiritually. You know what you will have? You'll have a testimony. When you get to work and people say, oh, how was your weekend? So, you wouldn't believe this. I've got no bills to pay. It's all been paid on Sunday. People paid my debt. Someone paid my rego. They took me out for lunch. I said, what, is it your birthday or something? No. Just God's goodness. We'll have a testimony. And what we can do is we can lift the church up and say, this is my body. Jesus, this is my body. And look at this example, because no one can copy this. You can go to Buddhas or Islam and whatever. You won't be able to copy this because they don't have the Holy Spirit. Romans 12:10. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Be devoted to one another. Honor one another above yourselves. And sure, you have to be the least important and you have to make someone else more important than yourself. Romans 13:8. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For whatever love loves others has fulfilled the law. Romans 15:14. I myself am convinced, my brothers and sisters, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with knowledge, and competent to instruct one another. And that's exactly what that Galatians verse said about, yeah, it's wonderful to do good, but let's build one another up spiritually as well. We can feed one another spiritually. It doesn't have to be physical things. And then 1 Corinthians 13:11, it says, finally, brothers and sisters, rejoice, strive for full restoration, encourage one another, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Encourage one another. That's a very easy thing to do that everyone can do. Galatians 5:13, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge in the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. Galatians 6:10, we've read that. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Ephesians 4:2, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. I love that. Bear with one another. Huh? How cool is that? If Mark irritates me, I have to bear with him. If someone irritates you, don't get offended. Just bear with them. It's so easy. It's so simple. We make it so complicated. Bear with one another. You know, sometimes we drive home and think, oh my goodness, that person is so... And I think, let's bear with one another. It's easy. Let's bear with one another. We're not all the same. Ephesians 4:32, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ, as in Christ, God forgave you. Kind and compassionate, forgiving one another. A few more. Colossians 3:16. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another. I mean, we can all do that. Mark doesn't have to teach everyone. We can all get together and say, wow, what has God been saying to you lately? What has God highlighted to you? What is God stirring in your heart? And we can all teach and encourage one another. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. Build one another up. It is so easy to tear people down. Slander. And you know what? I love that scripture where it mentions all the huge sins. I'm going to mention, well, I can't remember them, but it mentions all the sins. And then in the middle it says slander as well. And slander is the same as any other big sin that you can think of. And slander is if you talk about someone in a way that gives you a low view of them. I mean, it's so if I go to Maureen and say, man, just Jeremy, he's so irritating. And man, you see how lazy he is. And he's just, that's slander. I put him in a bad light. And that's sin. So let's stop that. So instead of tearing each other down, let's think of ways where we can build one another up. So think of a person that you don't like and then get with God and say, God, you show me how I can build this person up. And God will give you things of how you can actually build this person up. And you know what? When you do that, someone else will come to you and build you up again. And we all need that. We live in a society where we're lonely and people struggle. But you know, everyone can build each other up. And then Paul would love this, Hebrews 10:24. Let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. That's Paul's favorite scripture. And no, I'm just joking. But I love this verse. It says, let us consider. So he's not saying, wherever, whenever, God wants to force you, put you down in your seat, and with an audible voice, with an amplified speaker, blast into your ear to give you ideas how to encourage people. No, it doesn't say that. It says, let us consider. So obviously that means we have to take time where we can actually think. So let's consider. And let me think about people. How can I encourage Mike? God, how can I do that? How can I encourage Jacob? Let me consider it a little bit. Let me think about it. So I can't think of anything right now. I'll have to think more. God, help me. Think of ways. How can I do that? How can I encourage Jacob? Oh, here's a verse. Oh, I must buy him something. That's it. I've got it. But you know, you get the idea. Let's consider. Let's take time. God is not going to smack us down, force us, feed us things to say, I want you to do this for that person. But God has given us a brain, and he says, consider it. You've got the Holy Spirit. I will put things, ideas in you. Just go and do it. Almost done. 1 Peter 3:8. Finally, all of you, be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. 1 Peter 4:9, last one. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Offer hospitality to one another. Yeah, we'll never get to know each other here on a Sunday. It's not enough. It's really not enough. It's only when we get in each other's homes and we invite each other for coffee and biscuits and dinners and breakfasts, that we get time to hear the stories and understand what people have been through, that we really get to know one another. And the best way, I always say, is go camping together. Then you get to know people. Yes, at least for 2 weeks. But let me recap this quickly. So it says, love one another. Everyone will know that you're my disciples if you love one another. Be devoted to one another. Honor one another. Love one another. Instruct one another. Encourage one another. Serve one another. Bear with one another. Be kind, compassionate, forgiving. Teach, admonish, encourage, spur one another on. Be like-minded, offer hospitality. And those are just a short list of things to stir you and how we can do it. But believe me, it's an endless list. If you tap into the Holy Spirit, that will be an endless list of what we can do to build up this family, this unity, this church. And that list starts at home, in your real family. So if I cannot build up Maureen, if I can't build her up, what is this all about? I have to be able to build up my wife. Build up my son. And they need to build me up. And Armand needs to build me up. Imagine in your family, you just say bad things about your wife, and your wife say bad things about you, and you say bad things about your kids, and your kids say bad things about you. Change it. Don't tear one another down, but start in your family with this. Practice it in your family. I mean, you might think, oh, this is a bit overwhelming. I don't know where to start. Start in your house, your physical house. Start with your family. Make a point of it to say, God, how can I build up my wife? How can I build up my husband? How can I build up my kids? And then you think, oh, let's start in the home group. Because I can't think of everyone. It's just my mind kicks out. It's a bit overwhelming. But let's start in the home group. How can I build up people that we meet together or friends? And then let it go wider and wider. But if we can't do that in our house, we won't be able to do it in this family. I am almost done. Let me share this quickly. Two things that I've read during the week. And the one quote is this. And it says, there might be... This guy said it, but I'm saying it as well. There might be people here today that think, I've added that, the church can't make it without them. So we've got people here that think, the church can't, the church can make it without me. And we can't. Every person is valuable and significant and has got a role to play. We need every person. And we cannot make it without you. We all need one another. I mean, we've got no paid full-time staff. Everyone works full-time in this church. And no one's got weeks and weeks to prepare and do things. We all do it as one. That's our lives. That's how we live it. But everyone needs to play his part in this church. And we cannot do it without you. And then I love this little part that I've read. And it says, we are all part of one body, and no one has the right to amputate themselves from the functioning body of Christ, the local church. Huh? I love that. And I'm not talking about Mike and Mel today, but they're not amputating themselves. I'm talking about a functioning body, members in the church, to say, I don't believe you. I don't have a role to play. I'm not significant. I can offer nothing. You amputating yourself. You are saying, I'm not a hand. I'm useless. Sorry, I can't do anything. And that is an absolute lie, because everyone can play a part. The hard thing is, And I think one of the hardest things is to get this right. It's not about ourselves. We're making it about someone else. And it's so easy because we want life to be about us. And it's not. We need one another, and this cannot be a spectator sport. This is not a spectator sport. We all got a position that we need to play. I want to finish off with the musos and just use that as an example. So you can ask the worship team to come up. While they get ready, I just want to say this. If you want to take anything away from today, remember Galatians 6. That we need to do good, but it starts here. It starts here. And the foundation needs to be God's love. We cannot make this happen out of our own strength. And when we do this, we lift up the church to the world and say, this is the beauty of God. These are all the facets of God. And what are the illustration that I want to use this morning with them is just to illustrate the church and how we all have to play our part. So I've asked Ben, it doesn't start now, but I've asked him just to start playing his own. And then we're going to add them. And this whole, the picture I want to paint is if everyone in the church plays his part, it becomes something nice. So Ben, if you can just start. More. Just stop there. So we've got one little note and ding, 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 ding. And that can be a Mark or a Sharon in the church just playing their part. And it sounds okay, but it's a bit mediocre. But then let's just add musicians. So play on. Let us do that song.
Sure.
Okay, let's do that song.
In the glory.
Thank you. Let me pray for us. I want to thank you, God, for your goodness, and for your love. I want to thank you for this body called the church. That's why you came to die, Lord God, to redeem us. And not just this local church, but the whole world to yourself. But today, Jesus, we want to think about this church, this body that you died on a cross for. You redeemed us. You clothed us with righteousness. God, I want to pray that we'll be able to do this as a church, that we're able to love one another. As we see the example in Acts 2:42, Lord God, they were stabbed in the heart, said, what must we do? And the Holy Spirit started an inner unity. God, I want to pray that love will flourish in this church. Yes, let us absolutely think of the world and be light and be salt. But let us not forget the role that we've got in this church. When we think and consider of ways to build one another up, love and encourage one another, it will prevent us from being dull and ineffective. God, help us to do that. We cannot do this by ourselves. I want to thank you, Holy Spirit, that you've got the ability to give us miraculous power that we can love one another and do these things. It's not something that we can build up out of our own strength, but it comes from you, God. We want to accept that. We don't want to neglect our role. We don't want to amputate ourselves and say, I'm not significant. God, we want to believe you that every person is significant and can play a role in this church. I want to thank you for your goodness. Jesus, I want to thank you for what you've done on the cross for us. How you saved us. How you took all our sin. And when we turn to you, you take our sin on yourself. And you give us your righteousness and your holiness. And we've got a right standing with God. I want to thank you for that. I pray, God, that you'll bless every person here today. I want to thank you that you're good. Help us, Lord God, not to forget you. Help us not to forget to stay close to you. Because as we move away from you, you become dull and we can't see and it's very vague. But when we stay close to you, it becomes clear and the mist lifts and we can see clearly. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for the people in this church, Lord God. Thank you for this body of believers. That you've put together. Help us to bear with one another. Help us, Lord God, when the going gets tough, that we will do that, that we'll forgive easily, that we won't hold grudges, but that we'll love and encourage, that we won't slander and talk badly about people, or not even badly, just put them in a bad light. Let's talk well about people. Let's encourage and build up. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, God, for what you're doing. Help us to do this, I pray. What a privilege to be part of a body, of your body, Jesus.